Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Well, greetings, thanks. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're broadcasting live from... we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is October 22nd, 2020.
Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, text Dan on his cell. Let him know you're going to call him at 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates about the breaking news in the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives and all of our contact information is all on our ministry hub, which is prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com.
We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally, YouTube, and some FM, so pray about supporting airtime.
Let's thank our listener base in places like Israel, Manila, Philippines, Helsinki, I say that every time.
Yeah.
Helsinki, Finland, Bucharest, Romania.
Okay.
Lexington, and in the USA, we got Lexington, Kentucky, Jacksonville, Florida, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and this week, New York, New Jersey is the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Right, and actually, we get Israel pops up off and on as listeners over there, but for some reason, it doesn't show up on the map, but it shows up on the listing, and that's because a lot of maps are biased against Israel, and that's the only thing I can think of. But yes, we do have listeners over there in the land of Israel, and I'd say hello and shalom to you folks. By the way, folks, send us an email. That's the best way to let us know where you're at, radio@messiahsbranch.org, or text to my phone, 316-619-4886, and I will not use it to solicit donations. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, but your will to be done. So, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So, please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, before I get into this really great program I laid out tonight, we're going to have a song.
Pruning for the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and then glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, his Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful that we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. does it 'cause he cares for us, and that's why he cuts the din. When he's through, we may not see the good in what he's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in his son. In time, harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's dipped for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
Okay, well. Looks like that song is over with. Okay. Anyway, I came across this really good article today. It's in Israel 365 News, Biblical Prophecy Unfolding. And folks, that used to be Breaking Israeli News. And they switched to Israel 365 News is what they call it now. But it used to be Israel Breaking News. So if you look up Israel 365 News, then you can find it. And I think I am going to have you read. My asthma's acting up a little bit, but the catch title of it was "God Made a Deal with Satan," and for Trump says prominent rabbi. This is by Rabbi Lambert Adler, October 22nd, 2020, Biblical News. Go ahead.
Okay, and y'all already replied to the adversary. See all that he has in your power, only do not lay a hand on him. The adversary departed from the presence of Yahweh. Job 1:12, the Israeli Bible TM. For the past several years, in lecture after lecture, prominent Jewish educator and international lecturer Rabbi Mendel Kinsey has been calling President Trump the Tov Shiba Shaveh.
Just call it that.
The good part of the biblical personality, Esau.
Right. Let's just call it Asher, because you're going to run across again. Okay, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, the Jewish tradition, Asava, will do Tishava, repent at the end of days and cooperate with the Jewish people. According to Kissin, with all of his actions in support of Israel, President Trump is fulfilling that prophecy. In recent Torah lecture delivered on October 14, 2020, Kissin developed into the spiritual secret behind Trump's success. People don't understand Trump. He exhibits certain personality traits, character traits, which turn off a lot of people, Kissin established. He went on to raise...
Stop a second. You know, it isn't so much as... Here's the point. People was talking about Trump, offending people with his language. You know, mostly, if you really look at what he says, it isn't that at all. What it is they're not used to, number one, a Republican president speaking back and defending
right.
himself. So standing that offends
right.
him. And standing up for what's right. And they have a hard time with truth.
Right.
Because he spews out the truth to them, and the news media tries to make it lies and say he's rude and everything. It's not rude. He's just telling the truth. He has to fight back. They're not used to that. And so I don't think there's a thing wrong with his language. Sometimes I use his vulgarity that I wish he wouldn't, but he's still a baby Christian. Go ahead.
And a lot of people, when you hit them with the truth, they say you're rude.
Right. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He went on to raise the question that baffles a lot of people, and even Trump supporters. Why did God pick a man that has such character traits as Trump? Where people view that a disgraceful, it's not presidential, that it's not mature, and what's the underlying reason he asked?
Stop. Back to that. The same thing that we just said is also the answer to that. just defending himself and being truthful.
Yeah, okay. His answer reveals a hidden secret about the way God runs the world. In the opening character of the book of Job, God is portrayed as being a conversation,
being in a conversation
with the Satan. In Jewish theology, the Satan works for God and has the God-given role of enforcing strict justice. However, since God is all-powerful, he has a way of circumventing the objections of the Satan. This is known in Hebrew as Shoad de Satan, which means a bribery to the Satan. In other words, when God wants to accomplish something to which the Satan objects on the basis of strict justice, God offers the Satan a kind of bribe to get him to agree with God's plan.
Okay, and first off, folks, if you really want to know about the character of Satan and what we're talking about, you really need to read the book of Job. If you haven't, and that's a problem for a lot of Christians because they just don't read the Old Testament, and they should. You'll find about the character of Yahweh, and you'll find out the character of Satan, and so on and so forth. Okay, let's go on with this.
Okay, this claims Rabbi Kissin is how we can better understand the success of President Trump, despite the unrelenting criticisms of his dictators.
Detractors.
Okay. He explained, before Yahweh was about to elect, so to speak, Trump to be the Tov Shebi'azavi, or whatever.
Azav.
The Satan appears, as always before, and advanced in the messianic process and says, wait a minute, you can't do this. The Jews don't deserve to be redeemed. So God does a strategy called Shoad de Satan, a bribery to Satan. On one hand, God wants to bring the redemption already. On the other hand, he creates the Satan to uphold justice. Therefore, he can't just dismiss the claims of the Satan, so God offered a compromise to the
compromise.
Satan. A compromise to the Satan. Kelson paraphrased the compromise that occurred in heaven between God and his staff member, the Satan. I'm going to put up a guy that's going to tremendously help Israel. He'll do the job, but there is going to be a tremendous barrier. People are going to look at his personality and say, what? We should vote for a guy like this? And Kelson explained the matter that Satan agreed to the compromise God offered, assuming that the unrefined personality of Trump and the significant opposition that will be directed toward him as a result will prevent him from accomplishing anything significant. This, according to Kessin, is how we ended up with a president who people despise on a personal level, but who has been widely successful. Kessin referred to Trump as probably the greatest president in U.S. history in terms of what he's done.
Yeah, he probably is a good. It's hard to judge that because people like George Washington wouldn't be in America without the attitude of George Washington. You know, George Washington, they wanted to make George. Actually, we about lost. If it wouldn't have been for George Washington, forget about winning the war, it was the aftermath. If it wouldn't have been for George Washington, we wouldn't ever became a republic. It would have went into a kingship because they literally wanted to make Congress. They wanted to make him king, and he refused to that. And so that's why we have a republic, not a democracy, a republic, as they say, if you can keep it. So Washington is indeed one of the greatest presidents there ever was. Trump, I will say, is the greatest modern-day president that ever was, and he has accomplished more than any other president that I can think of in my lifetime.
Or you could also say he's the greatest president since Washington.
Right. Lincoln was pretty good, too, and there were some other good ones, but, you know, they were good for their time, you understand what I mean?
Right.
President Trump has did more to take us back to that republic than you know what I mean? Because that's the things that you need to watch. Well, yeah, and how do you know those things? How do you know what I'm saying? Because you're supposed to know history, especially American history. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, beyond that, Kessin openly predicted that President Trump will win the 2020 election, offering several reasons to support that prediction. His first and perhaps most significant reason to expect that President Trump will be reelected is that God is clearly protecting him. Every day there's another slander against Trump Yet for some reason, Trump survived. Not only that, God gives him the energy not to go into utter despair. Kissing is elaborated, and that is a fact, because I don't know how he's upheld 3.5 years of their garbage.
Yeah, any one of those things that they brought against him would, for most normal people, would be heartbreaking.
And you can bet your behindy that everything they've accused him of, one of them is doing, or has done, or is still doing, or been doing, or, yeah.
Yeah, you noticed that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what they're guilty of, and that's a way the nature is of most people, especially evil people. Their mind goes to, they figure, well, they did it, so you must be guilty.
Right.
You know, and that's where their mind at, so you must be guilty. If they're capable of doing this, then you must be capable. They don't understand.
And I got away with it, but I'm going to nail you for it, right?
Right, right, right. And it's done to cover up. Go ahead.
In addition, Kesson emphasized that the job Trump was assigned to do is not finished. Since Trump represents the Tav Shebi'asvev, the good part of Esau, which is needed at the end of days, if Trump doesn't win, that will mean that the beginning of the redemption will come to an end. Would God do that? He asked incredulously.
Well,
no.
No. He's not going to, Yahweh's not going to leave something unfinished that he started.
Right.
And in the second half of this program, we're going to get into why I believe it. I'm going to show you from one chapter in the Bible, in Ezekiel 38, why it clearly says that there's a certain situation that has to be there when the Antichrist attacks Israel. And I'm going to show you that from the scripture after break. But in the meantime, you know, I've been looking at a lot of things, like there's this one comedian that ever since COVID started, he's still been traveling the country, you know, and talking to people and everything, and he's visited all the major states and things, and what he's saying, what I've said all along, is that he's talked to Trump people in places like barber shops and, you know, normal everyday places, and, you know, he gets them relaxed and everything with his comedy, and so they tell the truth and talk to him.
Right.
And he said he wouldn't believe how many Trump supporters are out there, but they blatantly tell him, but when people ask us, are we support Trump or do we vote for Trump, they absolutely say a lie. They say, no, we're supporting Biden.
In fear of getting shot, killed, or beat up.
Or like in the case of the barbershop, having their barbershop go away and burn to the ground, put out of business. And so that's the same way even when the pollsters call them. When the pollster calls them, they say, oh, we're voting for Biden. It's going to knock their socks off. The crying fest the media is going to have when Trump wins. Because he's going to win. And I've been saying it for a very long time. And again, I'm not going to go into the reasons right now, but the reasons I'm going to try to make clear to you in the next, in the second part of this program. I just don't want to get into it, but for biblical reasons, especially if we're indeed in the end times, then Trump has just almost inevitable that Trump has to be the president once again. And I know and the votes are out there, and so it's going to stand them on their head. What are they going to do? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the aftermath election. I do believe that you all better get stocked up. How many days have they got? What, two? Not even 2 weeks?
Well, it looks like Biden ain't heading anywhere near the White House. He's going where the bars are.
Well, we're seeing more and more tonight in Trump's debate, the last debate. He's invited Hunter Biden's ex-partner that verified the videos to sit in the audience at the debate, and he's going to point him out, and so that's going to happen in tonight. I'll still be on radio, so I guess you can tell me about it. I can watch it later if I even need to. But you know, they got that rule that both sides will be muted while the other one talks.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, and
so they'll be rambling, but you won't be able to hear them.
Well,
and they'll probably mute Trump all the time, all the way through the debate.
Well, technically, it'd be kind of hard to mute him during his own 2 minutes. You know, I mean, where they do cut it, he starts talking, they cut him off, and it just goes blank. And if so, that's going to be blatant to the American people. Of course, the last one was blatant too, you know. But the point is, I really believe in my heart of hearts that he is indeed going to win for sure. We're going to go. I think that we should go ahead and start this next one. Unless you got something else you want to add. We only got about a minute before break. Let's not start it. So anyway, folks, get stocked up at home and, you know, be prepared for anything. You know, go to the voting, the polls, and then go home. I don't suggest being out and about in stores or anyplace else, especially on the 4th. You know, I think the 4th are going to explode, 4th and 5th. We don't know, though. I do suggest getting stocked up. Right now, meat's starting to get real cheap in the stores, but the reason that meat's short or is cheaper is because the stores stocked up like they never had before, and we're already getting warnings about how many people are hungry out there. Nancy Pelosi is starving people. Don't want to give them that other a win for Trump and give another stimulus check, and there's people starving that need the money, especially in New York.
I did hear on the Bull, this is 102.1 today, that they do have a program that they just started for people that are having trouble paying the rent. There's a program that you go on their government website and sign up for to get $5,000 assistance to help pay your rent.
Really?
Yeah.
And
that was on the Bull. And I'm pretty sure it's on the government website that where the COVID stuff is. I'm not real sure. I mean, it was just a radio advertisement I heard on the road, so... Okay. Anyway, we're going to go to break. You can find all of our information about the Mission Church, all the program radio archives, the contact information is over at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go and let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus can save. On the cross his life blood he gave. He poured it out for sinners. He's looking for redeemers. I tell him that he rose from the grave. Well, let's go. We got to let people know. Well, let's go. And let the gospel flow. Let them know that Jesus is King. Peace and love and joy he will bring. And when they feel like dying and there's no use in trying, let's tell them Christ is everything. God's on the throne and gives them every good thing they own. Let's teach them to be grateful and pray that they'll be faithful, that he's the best friend we've ever known. Let's go. We got to let people know.
Greece or Grecia had very little immediate significance to the writers of the Old Testament. From a prophetic standpoint, however, Greece was extremely important. The prophet Daniel, relating a vision he had been given, foretold of the fall of the Medo-Persian Empire and the rise of the powerful Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great. At the height of his power in 323 BC, Alexander the Great died in Babylon, having conquered a vast area stretching from Greece to India, including Egypt and Israel. Little by little, Rome gained dominance over the Grecian Empire. Even so, Hellenistic thought continued to prevail for hundreds of years after the birth of Christ. At the death of Caesar Augustus, the time of Jesus, the Roman Empire stretched from Spain to the Caspian Sea. Christ was tried, found not guilty, but yet crucified under the direction of the Roman government. Christianity was born and grew up in this setting. Later, many Roman emperors came to power, commanding adherence to their own versions of paganism. By the year 321 AD, the faith of the first century believers had almost vanished, and a blend of sun worship and the true worship of the Creator had been substituted. Almost, for God has always preserved a faithful remnant. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts.
This is Pastor Dan and
Linda Catlin.
And you're listening to the Science Branch Prof Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay. Well, moving right along, I want to get this one done so I can give them the biblical reason why I believe Trump will win. So, okay, let's go with this. Denise Goulet, a senior associate pastor of the International Church of Las Vegas, told President Donald Trump during a church service on Sunday that he will experience a second wind. Okay, let's go into the article.
In October 2016, Goulet said to then GOP presidential candidate Trump, "Lord, I thank you that you have prepared him for such a time as this. Lord, you have your hand on this man, and I thank you for it." Excuse me. On Sunday, the pastor shared with Trump that and the members of the ICLV what she believes God told her regarding the upcoming election.
Okay, so let's be clear. He visited that church last election, and she said, "You're going to win." And so he visited again on Sunday. Okay, so what was said?
At 4:30 a.m., the Lord said to me, "I am going to give your president a second win," she said. "You will be the president again." Goulet also believes God is giving Trump a second wind, like runners experience sometimes in a race, which allows them to finish strong. He has made your lungs, your body, your spirit, your strength. He has made it in such a way that you have been trained in such high-pressure places in the last 4 years, and even before that, that the Lord said, "He is ready for the next 4 years, and I am giving him a second wind." And there's also this, a second wind, if you'd add in the Holy Spirit, continued, "And the Lord showed me today that you are coming to a great second wind, another infilling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit makes you able to finish, to take this to the end, Mr. President. He is protecting you like he is protecting the ancient foundations of our nation," Goulet said. God wants to be in the middle of our nation.
Okay, well, you know, we could go through a lot of things, but America was founded on the principle of Yahweh to pursue Christianity, not a whole bunch of other weird forms of religion, but to pursue Christianity without the Church of England's influence, because the Church of England, that whoever was the king or queen at that time was the head of the church. It was part of a state entity. So, you know, so that part about where they made a thing that says there's a separation of church and state, the separation of church and state wasn't to muzzle Christianity or stop it from being taught in schools or anything else. It was simply to stop the government from forcing the religion to do whatever they want. A good example of this is in China. The Christian churches are run by China. In fact, they're taking down crosses off the top of the churches and putting the Chinese red star on top of all the steeples in the churches. And they're forced to do all kinds of things. That's the kind of separation of church and state that we're talking about, not putting down Christianity. Our forefathers all were Christians, were 90%. And the ones they did, even back when they built the Capitol building, they actually had Sunday service in the Capitol building. So clearly they weren't talking about keeping Christianity out of government, because even if you know your Torah, what do we see about the Torah? The laws of the United States of America was based on Torah.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's about incense
or
anything
else. We run across the principles in there all the time.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. ICLV Associated.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where you start. Okay. Go ahead.
Associate Pastor Pascal Yerubaz affirmed Gullett's statement that Trump would win a second term. I believe this is what's happening. There might have been a little bit of a setback, but that was nothing. Yerubaz said, perhaps referring to Trump's recent bout with COVID-19. It was a setup for the comeback, a double win. I declare that right now in Jesus' name. Yerubaz prayed the Bible's Isaiah 11:2 over Trump, that the Spirit of Yahweh would rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding and the counsel and might. The pastor also commended Trump's statement at a rally in North Carolina last week when the president referred to Jesus Christ as the most famous person in the world.
And Gulat agreed. Okay, but what was said was at a rally, but somebody said, you're the most famous person in the world. He said, no, Jesus is the most famous person. So just clarifying that. So Gulat agreed. Pick it up.
Mr. President, because you said that you'd honored the Lord, you said he's your boss, I believe that you came here today, yes, for a second win, but for a double portion, and only God can double that up. ICLV Senior Pastor Paul Gullett, Denise's husband, preached on the subject of rebuild and reset, drawing from Nehemiah chapter 3. The pastor also sought to give honor to whom honor is due by listing several accomplishments of the president's first term. They included giving a voice to the unborn, not enforcing the Johnson Amendment, appointing conservative judges, moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, negotiating peace agreements in the Middle East, supporting school choice, and overseeing an economic boom that created a record number of jobs.
Okay, they included giving a voice to the unborn and not enforcing the Johnson Amendment. I talk about that Johnson Amendment. That's where the 501c came from, and they muzzled the church with that. So, see, folks, it is a reality that I've been telling you that the church has been muzzled, but Donald Trump went and changed that. Independent churches are starting to speak more forward, but the mainstream Christian churches still aren't, because their own doctrines are stopping them from doing them. And we're talking about, you know, big chain churches and things like that, and mega churches. You know, they're still back to the thing of never offending somebody, which the gospel should offend. Yeshua, it was called, the word of God is called a sword, not a feather.
Yeah, how can you be, you usually are offended when you are convicted. That's how you get convicted, is you get offended first, and then you go, oh, well, I'm guilty of that. Then you're convicted.
Yeah, I'd like to take some of these politicians and people and put them in a room and force them to listen to Proverbs over and over and over again. You know, they'd be banging their head off the wall. You know, even to somebody that's righteous, Proverbs will mess you up.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
There's something in there that you're...
Yeah, there's something in there you're guilty of.
Nobody's without sin.
And more than likely, more than one of them. okay.
Okay. Amendment appointing conservative... Oh, I already read that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. Trump told the congregation before leaving that he was honored to be with them for the service. I go to many churches, and I love going to churches, he said. We are with you 100%.
Okay, and this picture that we're looking at is from inside the church. I'm thinking about using it for the video cover today for this program, because we make a picture, you know, for every program. And he sure looks like he's smiling. Doesn't look like he's having a bad time.
No.
You know? And so...
Oh, and I imagine they're going to say something about no social distancing and no mask. I see one mask in all that whole crowd, and they're not 6 feet apart. And, oh, boy, they're going to get in on him for that.
Yeah, amen. But you see these four people here, they're all part of Trump's entourage, which means they've all been tested for COVID.
Right.
Every day, you know what I mean? And so there's no need for masks between them right at this moment anyway. But, yeah, it's in a church. And we have had some judges siding with churches.
Ezekiel 30.
Mine.
Oh,
I'm going to read this because I got a lot to stop on
okay. And
everything. So, okay, folks, why do I personally believe that there's lots of reasons why I biblically believe, but I'm going to show you some prophecy that why I believe that certain situations have to happen to be in place for the Antichrist to attack Israel. You know, as we read this, keep in mind, this goes against the grain. I can't wait till Joel Richardson's book get out. In fact, I'm going to put a link to the free copy that he gives out electronically, and I'm going to put it with this program tonight so you can find it. But realistically, the Antichrist, there's this misconception. The Antichrist goes in and somehow fools everybody in Israel, and they follow them, and they take the mark of the beast. That isn't how it happens. It isn't what the Bible actually says. The Antichrist invades Israel, and Yeshua comes back to save Israel. But we're going to show you in this, and this is about the attack, Ezekiel 38, this is the attack on Israel by the Antichrist. So the word of Yahweh came unto me, and, O mortal, turn thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the chief priests of Meshach and Tubal, prophesied against them. Gog of the land of Magog, that is not Russia, that is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is the land of Turkey and what's connected to it. That was at the time that this was written, these places existed.
Right.
And they existed in Turkey. And they say, thus says Yahweh, lo, I am coming to deal with you, O Gog, Antichrist, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I threw Antichrist in there because that's who Magog is. Gog is the Antichrist. He says, I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in splendor, a vast assembly, all of them with bucklers and shields and welding swords. Among them shall be Persia, Nubia, and Put, everyone with shield and helmet. So we also have Persia, and Persia is Iran. And these are the countries that right now are upset because there's peace coming to Israel. These are the countries that are upset. And these are also the countries that are against the countries that are making peace with Israel. But the reason that they are making peace with Israel, in part, is because Israel can help defend them from Iran, which is Persia, and Turkey. And that's what's going on in the Middle East peace deal. Now, we'll go on. Verse 6. Gomer with all his cohorts, Beth Togarmah in the remotest parts of the north and its cohorts, and many peoples with you. Be ready and prepare yourselves, you and all the battalions mustered about you, and hold yourself in reserve for them. After a long time you shall be summoned. In the distant future you shall march against the land of a people restored from the sword, gathered from the midst of many people, again the mountains of Israel, which have long lain desolate, a people liberated from the nations, and now dwelling secure. Okay, the people, so this is talking about Israel. The people, Israel came back from the nations. They were scattered to the nations. There it came back. But it says, now liberated from the nations, they are, but they're now also dwelling secure. They're not yet dwelling secure. Because right now, these countries hadn't made peace with them over the Palestinian issue and everything. In fact, remember, there were several wars fought because of all this. Point is, you couldn't say that they're secure yet. That's something that has to be there. And it also says that restored from the sword, a place that has been desolate for a long time, and that's Israel. Okay, so You shall advance, coming like a storm. He's talking to Gog Magog. You shall be like a cloud covering the earth, and all your cohorts and all these people with you. Thus saith Yahweh, on that day a thought will occur to you, and you will conceive a wicked design. You will say, I will invade a land of open towns. I will fall upon a tranquil people, living secure, all of them living in unwalled towns and lacking bars and gates. Okay, this is just talking about people being in a relaxed state. Well, once they make this peace with their surrounding neighbors that want to do it for economic reasons and protection reasons, Israel is going to feel that way. They're going to feel relaxed, and peace is finally here. You know, they say, when they say peace, peace, you know, then sudden destruction will come. But this is something that has to happen. If Biden wins, this goes down the drain. Biden is totally against, and he's with Iran and Turkey and the other nations that say a Palestinian state first and all this stuff. And so this peace deal will go completely down the drain. And that would set us back a very long time. And we're already in the time of the end, because it says when Israel went back and became a country, then before that generation passes away, all things have to come to pass. So therefore, we are in that timing of the end that Israel must get to a place of safety. In fact, there's a famous rabbi in New York that wrote a book about Bible prophecy. And I asked him for weeks on end, and I've said it, you've heard it before, but I finally got out of him. I said, well, what's the biggest condition that there has to be before Messiah comes? And he said, Israel has not reached the height of its riches, which they will do with this peace deal, with all these peace deals, and they're not secure in the land. And so those two conditions are what's going to come about from this peace deal. And a temple has to be rebuilt. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of all the magistrates of Tarshish will say to you, have you come to take a spoil, to seize and plunder that you have assembled your hordes, to carry off silver and gold, make off with livestock and goods, to gather an immense booty? Therefore prophesy, O mortal, and say to God, thus saith Yahweh, surely on that day when my people Israel are living secure, you will take note. And when my people Israel are living secure, this will happen. And now, this is a note from this Bible. I'm using the Israeli Bible today, folks. It's a really good Bible. It's written by Israel. Not written, but translated. In Ezekiel's final apocalyptic, in Ezekiel's final apocalyptic vision, Gog and Magog make their evil preparations to invade Israel. They see a people dwelling in a land in security and prosperity and feel that the time is right to attack. Yahweh tells Gog and Magog that though they're evil, they will be destroyed and his name will be sanctified throughout the world. This verse gives us a hint into the mind of Israel's enemy. The sight of the people of Israel living in peace and quiet in Israel motivates them to attack. Although Israel poses no threat, her enemies are prepared to risk everything to see her destroyed. But as Yahweh makes clear, he will not allow that to happen. Yeshua, this is when Yeshua returns, is during this battle. This is Armageddon. Okay, going on. And you will come from your home in the farthest north, and many peoples with you, all of them mounted on horses, a vast horde, a mighty army. And you will advance upon my people Israel like a cloud covering the earth. This shall happen in a distant day. I will bring you to my land, that the nations may know me when before their eyes I manifest my holiness through you, O God. Thus saith Hashem, or they call him Hashem because they don't want to pronounce Yahweh's name. Thus saith Yahweh, while you're the one I have spoken of in ancient days through my servants, Israel, who prophesied for years, in those days I will bring you against them. And that's right. He tells all about it in the beginning. Moses talks about it. On that day when when God sets foot on the soil of Israel, declares Yahweh, my raging anger shall flare up, and Yeshua will deliver them, folks. Anyway, for I've decreed in my indignation, in my blazing wrath, on that day a terrible earthquake shall befall the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that move on the ground, and every human being on earth shall quake before me. Mountains shall be overthrown, cliffs shall topple, and every wall shall crumble to the ground. Look in Revelation, it talks about it. When I will summon up the sword throughout my mountains, declares Yahweh, and every man's sword shall be turned against his brother. I will punish him with pestilence and with bloodshed. I will pour out torrential rain, hailstones, and sulfurous fires upon them and his hordes, and the many peoples with him. folks, you hear the language that's in the book of Revelation. Thus I will manifest my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they shall know I am Yahweh. So, amen. This, what's the biggest thing that you see in it? I kept saying one over and over, they were at peace and they were secure, right?
Yeah, and the Lord saved them.
And Yahweh saved them. But that's the same way they work. You know, they call this, when Israel, going back to the people, we're talking about a second Exodus. It's called the second Exodus. But you saw the same thing in the first Exodus, is that throughout the time, Yahweh made example of the people that they had to conquer going through the lands to get to the promised land, right?
Right.
Yeah, and he said, well, I'm glorifying myself that way. And so when they got there, what did the people of the other land see? They were scared of them and awed, right? So he uses the same pattern. This is the nature of Yahweh. He's glorifying himself by showing how powerful he is, and he is who he says he is. And so, amen.
So in a way, then, Trump's kind of like Moses, saving the people,
well,
standing in the gap between destruction and, for the Lord.
Well, in a sense, but he's more like another leader that actually brought him back from Babylon and rebuilt the temple and all that.
Who was that?
We'll get into it at another time. Anyway, so, and that's in the historical book. But, so anyway, folks, here's a special request I got for you, and we're going to talk about the Mission Church. Soon we're getting ready to start a new season of studying the Word at the Wichita Mission Church. You folks know that most of all of our funding goes to radio and for the Mission Church to fund caring and feeding for the poor. Right now I'm praying that I can get funding for a special edition Bible we badly need to start this new study with that we really like to do. Of course, I do not have the funding, so I'm asking you folks to help me pray in $700 specific for this effort. What I'm praying is this. Father, if it be your will for this to be done, you will send the funding for this, and it will be marked for the Word, so I know it's for this purpose. And so I'm asking for prayers for this. If it comes, that's fine. If not, I'll know it's not his will. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. Wichita Mission Church. So how many people are we feeding? What's going on?
Well, the last past three or four times, it's been 65, 63, 65, and 67, I think. So we've been going over our 60, but it's not getting any better, that's for sure.
Well, what's the 60 number
that
you're talking
about? Except for it's getting
cold
now, and I don't know what we're going to do because we can't let them in the building for the heat, and it's hard to get them. I don't know. It's really a mess. I wish COVID would go away.
Yeah, amen. But anyway, so here's the point. What's the 60 number you keep talking about for the people? You just cut everybody off after 60? I know, but they don't know. What do you mean?
No, we serve out the back door from 4 to 5, okay? So I prepare 60 plates. Sometimes we don't do 60. Sometimes we only do 53. But I have a lady that lives next door that takes those plates. She knows everybody in the neighborhood and hands out. So we always do at least 60, whether they come or not. But the last couple days, they've been coming even after we shut the gates. They've been coming, hey, can I get a plate? Hey, can I get a plate? My son comes in, Mom, can you make just one more plate?
Yeah, and
so we don't, if they come, we feed them.
Right, so we don't cut anybody off.
No, feed them something.
But you got to have some kind of a game plan to start with. You know, that's right. Where the 60 comes from.
Right, I start with 60. That's what I make every. That's what I prepare for the meals is 60 meals, and I usually make it 60. Sometimes I make a few more, but usually I make it right. It comes right out at 60. But I try to have. I do get Barox that I. Try to keep in the freezer for the people that show up late and stuff like that.
Right, so you got something else back up, and that's something that we could use some funding to like right now. I'm praying in vegetables because we're going through the vegetables quick. We're going
to
be
right. It takes 3 to 4 cans depending on what I made. I use six cans just for my shepherd pie on. This would be Thursday, so Tuesday. I get my Tuesdays and Fridays mixed up. Man, it goes so fast.
Yeah. Shepherd pies are real good.
But I do have several needs right now, okay? I do 60 hygiene bags every other Tuesday, so twice a month. Well, I...
Toilet paper?
And I do need toilet paper. I only have enough for 48 bags, and I have to do 120 bags. So I have 48 people that's going to get toilet paper when I need to make 160 bags, or 120 bags. Okay? I only have 32 tubes of toothpaste, so not everybody's going to get toothpaste. And I don't have any razors, and everybody's always asking for razors. So the main thing that we never hardly, we do get razors, but when we do, we don't get enough to do them. And I like to do at least 60 a month. Everything I keep at 60 so I can do them at least one of the hygiene days, because I know it's too hard to do 120 every time. So I usually give them the toothpaste and toothbrush, but I try to give them a toothbrush every time, but I give them the toothpaste. And a tube should last them a month.
Right, okay, real quick, let me throw this in. So, okay, folks, now, you got toilet paper from people before they bought at Amazon, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's the best way to buy it, and probably the same thing for everybody else, everything else that you said you need.
I'm not sure.
I bet, folks, if you do travel-size stuff and go to Amazon, you'll find a link to it, even though that she hasn't bought it. I bet it's there. Amazon about has everything.
Right, and I need combs and brushes. I mean, I don't hardly ever get those, and then when I do get them, I get like a handful, and they go real quick. They grab them right off the table because I don't ever get enough to put them in the bags. But then I also, there was something else. Oh, peanut butter. We need smooth peanut butter.
Yeah, not crunchy. There's people, a lot of people don't have any. The Dollar Tree, you can get, travel sizes. They're a buck a piece. I don't know, or you can get toothpaste at the Dollar Tree. In fact, you can buy it and we can pick it up. You just got to get a hold of me so we can arrange that. But actually,
if you can get travel size toothpaste, I'd really much rather put that in the bags than the big family size toothpaste, because I'm not real sure that they carry those around. So if they have just the single application ones, those probably work a lot better.
Right, but there's a point though. Most of them will keep it pretty much because the largest part of them have a camp.
Right.
And they will leave stuff there at the camp. And if you have, winter stuff, we need winter clothing. We need all those things.
Blankets, coats, sleeping bags.
And cold and medicines. Okay. Support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us, men, women, and children from all walks of life who had a bad break in all this atmosphere. We don't really get any help from the organized churches. We do have one place that's a blessing, but they're barely ever cut. They don't bring much as they used to. They're still a blessing. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't like to drive through, but that's where the body of Messiah should be. It's among the sinners and where the need is at. So, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where?
From your heart.
All right. Well, you can donate online, over the phone, mail a check or money order. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Pray about supporting radio. Radio, radio, radio. Make a donation for radio. Market for radio. Okay, better tell them goodbye.
Shalom. Till next week.
Okay, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. Got that? Repented sins. And he rose 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.